Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of February 4th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Howdy do.
So, why don't we get right into the show, because we have a ton of stuff to talk about this week. We'll kick it off with the latest batch of Super Bowl trailers, because that just happened over the weekend. So they always have the sort of the big trailers for like the biggest movies of the upcoming summer blockbuster season. So actually, why don't we'll just kick it off with the big one, which was the brand new first look at Fast and Furious 6. Or I'm just gonna call it Fast 6 from now on, just because last one was Fast 5, which they should just call it Fast 6, but.
They should just call it, like, the next one, and we'll know what they're talking about.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Vin Diesel, The Rock, the next one. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so Fast 6, picking up still before Tokyo Drift. picking up right after Fast 5. So the crew got away with, like, $100 million, and are just, like, living it up, but they can't go back to America because of warrants. And then there's a new, like, even, like, crazy, dangerous, evil group of drivers that are, like, in Europe, and then I guess London is going to be the main setting, but they're, like, robbing military convoys and stealing, like, tanks and planes and guns and a bunch of other stuff. So The Rock calls in the Fast and Furious crew to, like, come and, like, fight this evil gang of drivers with their Fast and Furious skills.
Man, it seems such a dumb idea, but you know it's going to be awesome.
It's stupid, but it's just, like, awesomely stupid.
It's borderline retarded, but that was the best trailer of the whole night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't care who knows it. That shit looked awesome.
They ripped the cargo plane out of the air with sports cars. And then Vin Diesel jumped his car through a plane.
Yeah, he, like, money shots on fire out of the front of the plane. I was like, whoa.
You know, a side of me still is hoping that they're going to do a Fast and the Furious and Torque mashup, you know?
That would be, like, where, like,
they had to hire a Torque crew.
they need bikers for some reason.
Yeah, how about that and Gone in 60 Seconds? Let's get Nicolas Cage in the mix.
Oh my God. Memphis Reigns.
Yeah. Ugh. I have to be gone in 60 seconds.
Actually, Gone in 60 Seconds, the original, was, like, the first, like, heisty car movie thing, right? Like, popular.
There was an original Fast and Furious, which is all, like, racing. It wasn't...
You just blew my mind, sir.
From, like, the 60s.
It's probably garbage, but I kind of want to see it.
Probably just stock video and just, like, people with mustaches, but whatever.
Yeah, it's probably just, like, Bullet, but, like, dubbed in Italian.
Actually, it came out in 1955.
Damn!
Car was the fastest in 1955? Like, I think a horse was a
Chevy Bel Air.
It was produced by Roger Corman, or directed by Roger Corman. No, produced by Roger Corman.
Roger Corman was involved.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like Fast 6 is like picking up the crazy action of that. Like, we don't even care about. There's no street racing anymore. It's just like insane heisting and doing crazy stunts, and it looks awesome.
Indeed it does.
Like Fast Five is definitely on all of our top tens for that year, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
I didn't see it until a few, like, last year, so. But I liked
it. Yeah, I was a little bit late with it, too, but I, you know, you can't really blame me, considering how Fast and Furious series had been going up until
that point. Like, Fast and Furious, the fourth one, was...
just bad and worse.
Yeah. Like, it was hilariously bad, but...
The Rock definitely breathed new life into that series, and obviously the return of Vin Diesel in a, like, actual capacity.
No, I mean, Fast and Furious was all the original people back, but just, like, it was stupid. There was like, secret tunnels going into Mexico that they had to go in.
Oh my god, that's what that one was?
And it was, like,
I tend to match them up
in all,
one movie.
It was all CG, just completely CG.
Was that the first one we showed Brian to?
Was that the one first we showed Brian to?
I think, because it's like, he's never seen any of them. And now it's like, okay, we'll show you the fast.
Did we watch Tokyo Drift, too? I don't think we watched
Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, and when that was over, he was probably like, man, fuck you guys. That was terrible.
Because, like, Brian meets Vin Diesel.
And like, Brian, there's four other ones of these. We just showed you, like, the fifth.
I think he saw Fast 5, though.
You want to talk about a saw trap?
He saw Fast 5.
Grab him to a chair and make him watch that whole series.
Oh, Pricer mentioned so The Rock's like new like second in command is Gina Carano, and also Michelle Rodriguez is back from the dead.
Whatever.
She needs a paycheck. Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah. And then did you guys see the extended trailer, like the 3-minute one?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Gina Carano versus Michelle Rodriguez in like the London subway.
If Gina Carano even looks like she's going to lose that for a second, I'm walking out of that theater. Because that's some wacky shit. But I'm glad Gina Carano's in another movie, because I was starting to think that Haywire might be the end of the line.
It looks like, and Luke Evans is going to be the bad guy, or like the evil leader of the evil drivers. With, like, a crazy, like, super low ramp card that, like, flips things as soon as it hits them.
Damn you, physics.
And they're, like, they're stealing tanks, and they're stealing, like, jeeps with machine guns. Like, all crazy military stuff.
Yeah, it looks pretty badass, man. I gotta
say. There's that one scene where it looks like The Rock is just, like slamming someone off of, like, Vin Diesel's shoulders in, like, a hangar or something.
Yeah.
Like if he's like has like a guy on his shoulders and The Rock's just like jumping off a shelf or something and like slamming him.
Chicken fight.
I think we named the Vin Diesel The Rock fight like the best fight of 2011.
It definitely was. If we didn't, we fucked up.
Two titans fighting each other.
Oh yes.
So yeah, so this coming out Memorial Day, definitely like one of our most anticipated summer blockbusters by far.
Absolutely.
And then other trailers. There's a new Iron Man 3 trailer that basically was just like a new scene, like a quick clip of like Tony was on Air Force One for some reason, and then like, gets attacked, and he has to like start figure out who he's gonna rescue because he can only carry four people, and there's like 13 people falling.
Yeah, I was a little offended that they called that a trailer. To be honest with you, I felt a little bit like. Shorted. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Like if you say that was like a clip, like or a sneak peek, that's one thing.
Well, but the extended one they sort of added like more like they had like the Mandarin intro that they've had for the past one.
Right.
Some people call me a teacher.
But like you're Marvel, you have money. Like we know you have money. Avengers made a fucking dickload of money.
Yeah.
Why don't you just show it during the game when everyone's watching?
Oh, was it like free game or something?
Well, no, like the extended trailer with like the Mandarin and whatnot.
See that though.
Yeah.
You gotta get those eyeballs to Marvel.com.
I guess.
Or YouTube.com/Marvel.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, Iron Man 3 definitely still looks pretty awesome.
It's not like I saw that and was like, I think I'm gonna pass on this one. Yeah. I don't think I need to know how that ends.
After the latest Lone Ranger trailer, though, I think I'm going to pass on that movie, possibly.
What? You're not going to see it in 3D and see Captain Jack Sparrow hijinks?
I wanted to pay for it, probably, so I probably will see it, but...
That's a good point.
That movie just looks, like, so stupid. Like,
it does look very stupid.
I'm going to predict it's going to be this year's John Carter.
You're probably right.
Where, like, Disney's just putting, like, so much money into it. It's just like, hey, it made $20 million this opening weekend.
I'm predicting it's going to be my Jonah Hex, and that everyone's going to hate it, and I will find some good in it. and then be ashamed.
Mm-hmm. So you're just repeating the cycle of cowboys, but spiritually.
Hey, I'm into supernatural cowboys, man. I don't know. I wish I had a better answer, but that's as honest as I can be.
I want to know when the Danny Trejo, like, he's undead cowboy movie coming out.
Jesus.
And, like, I forget who the devil is, but it was something crazy.
Hopefully it's Willem Dafoe. He was awesome in that Mercedes commercial.
Wait, the devil. I think the one you're talking about, Zach, is the one where, like, he's a bandit with a bunch of other bandits.
Yep.
And, like, Michael C. Hall, or one of the Michaels,
yep,
like, betrays him. I forgot what that movie was called, too.
We talked about it, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah. That's coming out. It looked interesting. It's just not memorable
Dead
right now, because there's no marking.
Oh, yeah, Mickey Rourke is the devil.
Oh, yeah!
That sounds about right.
And Anthony Michael Hall is the one who is, like, his, like, brother/gang partner who murders him. But anyway, back to World Trailer. So Lone Ranger was not... It looks very... Like, I think everything... Like, every scene from the trailer, like, I think it's... Like, they're, like, showing, like, that last action sequence, which is gonna be, like, on the train. Like, I guarantee that's the last action sequence.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all they're showing.
So, no high hopes.
So, the rest of the movie's gonna be pretty much boring. And then, there's a new World War Z, which is basically just the first trailer cut down to 30 seconds, so there's nothing new about it.
Crap.
Yep.
Dude, I wanted that to look good so bad. I'm already pissed
everyone,
off,
like,
man.
Every single person who read the book is just going to be like, fuck that movie.
Ugh.
And, what else was there was, new Star Trek, which,
meh.
Still, I mean, I'm still, like, probably one of my most dismayed movies the whole year, so. Nothing really.
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
Still not saying who Benedict Cumberbatch is as the villain, but he's better than everyone, apparently.
Abrams. Yeah.
I'm just calling Space Sherlock. He just shows up, does things.
I feel like it's kind of cheapened now that we know that JJ is doing Star Wars, because, like, obviously the third Star Trek just, like, isn't going to be his thing. I don't know.
He'll probably, like, produce it.
He'll find a way to make money off it. Don't, you know, don't kid yourself, but I don't know. I just feel like it kind of takes away from the hype behind Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Not that it doesn't look good. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so Star Trek World War Z, Lone Ranger. Oh, and then there was a new Oz the Great and Powerful trailer.
Yeah, we could skip right over that. Okay. That no one will be seeing that. That might be John Carter, dude. I don't know.
That's Disney too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're throwing all their ducks in a row.
Snake eyes on this one, fellas. I don't know. They might be like, okay, well, Oz was terrible, but hopefully the Lone Ranger will put... Nope, okay. We lost a lot of money.
Yeah. They don't... I mean, I don't think Iron Man 3... I mean, it's gonna be like $100 million opening weekend, probably, but I don't think it's gonna be...
Oh,
it's not gonna be, like, Avengers level.
No. Oh, God, no. No, I don't actually think, like, Thor 2,
like,
or
Avengers...
Captain America 2 are gonna do that good at the box office.
Yeah. Avengers made, like basically, like, made up double for, like, what John Carter lost.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
So that's, like, that's the only, like, they lucked out last year.
Yes, they did.
Like, this year, they have two possible bombs, and then Iron Man 3 is, like, a definite, oh, and Thor 2 coming later in the winter.
Yes.
I don't know, those might get slow, but I think it's a pretty safe bet that either Oz or Lone Ranger is going to be a pretty gigantic bomb.
I'm thinking both. I mean, does anyone want to see Oz the Great and Powerful? Like, was there a demand for that movie?
Who even talks about Wizard of Oz anymore?
I know, like, seriously, just like,
well,
let
okay,
it go.
There was, you know, Wicked, that musical, that was the prequel. And
yeah,
guess
but that was, like, the only thing.
10 years ago.
Yeah,
that was about 10 years ago.
You're about 10 years too late. And James Franco? Come on.
Yeah, man.
I'm Oz, bro. whatevs.
Good. Have you guys seen that trailer for like Spring Breakers or whatever the hell that movie is? With James Franco, it's coming up.
Where he has
a grill and dreads, and he's like this like crazy drug dealer guy, and he's like,
oh Jesus,
he's luring in like all the Disney like Vanessa Hudgens and like Selena Gomez, and also, like they're on spring break and they get roped up in like this like crazy like drug heist, bank heist thing.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
So that's it for Super Bowl trailers, and then a couple other trailers. There was we got our first trailer for the upcoming DC anime movie. So we just got Dark Knight Returns Part 2 out last week. And so later this year we're going to have Superman Unbound.
Yeah.
Which is going to follow the Brainiac storyline, the classic Superman story. So I think John Noble from Fringe is going to be Brainiac, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then Matt Bomer, who actually I think he's up for Superman in like the Man of Steel, or like one of the in the short list. But from White Collar, he's going to be voicing Superman.
He was actually up for Superman back in the day too, for the J.J. Abrams script after Superman Lives.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of nerd trivia for you.
Mm-hmm. So we get to see how he would be as a Superman in this animated movie.
Yes.
And it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks like another solid, DC animated movie. I won't make the claim that I'm as excited for it as I was for The Dark Knight Returns or anything like that, but it still looks pretty solid, I'd say. I'm just a little confused as to why they didn't call it Superman Brainiac.
Because
mm-hmm. Unbound is a little fruity, if you ask
Superman me. Superman Unchained.
Superman Fierce. We could have just said Brainiac, because it's basically all about Brainiac and the bottled city of Kandor and all that stuff. So
Superman versus Brainiac.
Yeah, why not? Why not just call it that?
They did, Superman versus the Elite, so they already did that before.
Yeah, but you could have just called it Superman, colon,
Brainiac,
mm-hmm. colon, movie film for home video.
The Brainiac Saga.
Yeah, part one, Breaking Brainiac.
the Superman Saga, part one, Brainiac.
Krypton Dawn.
Yeah, that's probably, I think it's, I don't, do you see the release date on that, Joe?
There is no release date. It's just
later this year, 2013.
Eventually. Coming at some point.
Yeah. They'll probably say Comic-Con or something.
They're screening it at, or I want to say WonderCon?
Mm-hmm.
In Anaheim in March, so it'll probably be a summer release. It'll probably coincide with Man of Steel.
They did that with Green Lantern Emerald Knights. Then Green Lantern came out, so yeah, that's probably makes sense. It's Superman and Superman the big screen.
Yeah, it'll probably be middle of May, end of May. Mm-hmm. If Man of Steel is June, so mm-hmm. we'll see.
And Did you see the trailer for Phantom?
No, but I hear David Duchovny is it.
Yes, David Duchovny and Ed Harris.
Wow.
And Ed Harris is the captain of a Soviet nuclear submarine. No one has Russian accents, by the way.
Awesome.
And basically, David Duchovny is a scientist who they're testing out this secret weapon on the submarine called Phantom.
Question: is he Hank Moody?
I don't know.
Shit. It's not him just banging random assistants.
No, I don't think there's any women on the submarine because that'd be pretty.
Oh boy, even better.
Uh oh.
It's basically if you combined Hunt for the Red October with Crimson Tide.
But put David Duchovny and Ed Harris.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's got like, because it looks like it's gonna be mostly like David Duchovny and Ed Harris just like yelling at each other and like, taking over each, like I'm taking over a submarine. No, I'm taking over a submarine back. No, I'm taking it back from you.
You're a dick. You're a dick. Yeah. You're a dick. You're a dick.
And also with like the like silent propulsion Soviet technology crap of Hunt for October.
Ooh, sciency.
And I think that might be a theatrical release. I think it might be a just like direct video thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a direct video, but shit.
It's like Ed Harris forgot he made this.
Yeah. Hey man, if that were in theaters, I'd go support it. Why not?
It's gonna be whatever it's coming out, and it's coming out apparently it's coming out in March, so it's pretty soon.
Damn, they should probably like run a trailer for that if they're gonna have it in theaters.
I kind of thought it was like one of those like, hey, it's coming out next week. Here's the trailer.
Yeah,
it's like
by the way, dog. See this or don't, whatever you know.
I remember that happened like Dylan Dog like a week before it came out. It's like, hey, here's a poster. God. This movie exists.
Yeah. I'm sure that made everyone involved feel great.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's it for trailers, so I can move on to other news. And yeah. There was a ton of casting news over the past couple weeks. So just do a quick rundown of that stuff. So first up, we had... Kristen Wiig is going to be in Anchorman, The Legend Continues.
Hi-o!
And I think I read, like, the rumor is that she's going to be, like, Brick's wife.
Oh, I hope that's true.
Which would be pretty fantastic.
Yes. Especially if their kid was, like, a super genius.
Yes!
Like, that'd be great.
And then Stacey Keach is going to be a villain in Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
Yes.
Wow.
Duck boy. Original.
I mean, they already use Booth Powers as a character, so...
Powers Booth, Chris.
Whatever.
He's talking... He looked him up in the phone book.
Yeah. They use Booth, Powers for Sin City.
He's graduating, damn it.
As awesome as that Booth name is, Powers. It's still unrealistic.
And then some big Marvel casting news. Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec is going to be Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So, like, the leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
You know, do you watch Parks and Rec?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, it's like taking one of the dumbest characters and having be, like, Captain America in space.
Yep.
Well, this is also, like, the Marvel Space Misfit, so, like, don't...
Yeah, he's sort of, like...
Don't worry too much.
He's sort of more, like, Hal Jordan-esque. Like, kind of a dick.
I guess.
And he's also in, like, Zero Dark Thirty as, like, a Navy SEAL, too, so...
I didn't see that, but I also heard, like, he's actually formable. It's just, I don't believe him, you know, because I see him too much in this.
Yeah, he was in Zero Dark Thirty, he was in something else crazy that you would, like, never expect him to be in.
Like a Shakespeare play, or, like...
Yeah.
In a Royal Performance Academy.
Mm-hmm. And then other Marvel news is that Emily Van Camp, who is currently starring on Revenge, that ABC show... Mm-hmm. Is going to be the female lead of Captain America Winter Soldier.
Rare.
Which, I would say there's like a 90% chance that she's going to be like Sharon Carter. Because like, what other female lead would be in Captain America? Like
The other female
like,
lead.
Modern day Captain America, like who would be the female lead in that movie?
Black Widow?
Domino? Yeah.
Betty.
You can't see Captain America doesn't. Oh no! Wasp. The Wasp.
Probably gonna save that for Ant Man though.
Yeah.
I mean, after Hank Pym does Mystic Abuse, like that's what I liked about the Ultimates when like.
Oh my God!
Hank Pym was like domestic abuse king, and then Captain America was just like, not on my watch. So.
Oh my God! That was so, that, like it was like he just like sicked like a bunch of just like an entire colony of ants onto her, and she like ended up in like a coma with like ant poisoning.
Ant poisoning.
She has so many ant bites.
My God. Yeah, do you think he's going to start smacking her around, like, in the second movie? Or are they going to try to, like... You think that'll be, like, the DVD extras? Just, like, pat, 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 pat. Wasp.
And then, let's see, last... I think there's... Let me just check here quick. Research on the fly. Oh, I guess we could mention, that Paul Walker is going to be Agent 47 in a new Hitman movie.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. Timothy Oliphant gave it a shot, and Timothy Oliphant's actually a decent actor. So.
Yes, he is.
He's an awesome actor. Shut up, Chris.
So I'm just saying,
Justified, yeah. Motherfucker.
You didn't say anything to watch Justified, Chris. So,
it's really hard to redeem this character now. Like, I don't think they need to make a Hitman movie.
Why don't they just get like fucking Jason Statham?
Yeah, seriously. Thank you.
Because they're just like avoiding destiny. British.
They're like, damn it, it's too obvious.
Yeah. We need someone who could fake do a horrible, horrible British accent instead of someone who's actually British.
Well, is Agent 47 British?
Yeah.
He should sound it. Isn't. He doesn't really talk that much in the first two games. Which is fine. I mean, shit.
I don't know if he has to be British. I mean, the new one, like, he's actually, like, an American or something.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, there's a whole agency of Hitman.
Yeah.
No, I meant, like, Resolution or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Absolution.
But Absolution. 47 isn't necessarily the same 47. It's like that James Bond theory where 007 isn't one person, but like a rank that you get.
No, he's the same person between all three games.
They just grow clones of him in like a...
Yeah, there's some weird shit going on in that series, man.
It's like the monks train like this group, like assassins with barcodes on them to like become assassins.
Yeah. And that's wrapping it up neatly. Once you get monks and barcodes, it's just, you know, I start to fade a little bit with my interest.
Mm-hmm.
Fun games, though.
Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere to go but up for a movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like hopefully it looks awesome when it comes time to be released and, you know, cut a trailer and all that stuff. I'm rooting for it. I'm just not expecting anything.
What up, Vin Diesel? It's Agent 47.
That would be pretty cool. This is my go-to, but what about Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yes. Put him in every other movie.
Hey, man, why not? He's like the action star right now.
The Rock could be in everything.
He should be in everything. Yeah. Like that milk commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like he's too brown. And
how dare you, sir?
Yeah.
Like, John Cena wouldn't be so bad. He'd be bulky, but he wouldn't be that bad.
The Rock.
Okay.
Just put him in like whiteface or something. I don't know.
Lighten his skin like he was in
Bleach him.
What was that movie when he had the daughter?
Oh God, the game plan?
Yeah.
Where he's the, game plan. Where's the
yeah, that was the player? Yeah, he was the that was the skinniest, whitest Rock I've ever seen.
I don't think they bleached the man, Chris. I think he was just kind of like brightly made up because it's a Disney movie. I don't think he needed to look like gritty. It's like, okay, this is the scene where you give the dog a bubble bath. Hold on, let's put some dirt on your face. Like, you have to make it look like you're just in the trenches.
I'm just saying, he looked very clean. He looked very small.
It was a Disney movie. Did you see Tooth Fairy? That was the same thing.
I think he was able to lift a few weights between the movies.
Hey, man.
Anyway. So, moving on to other news. So we actually found out, it actually started as a rumor earlier this week, but then it got confirmed by Disney, that there's going to be, along with like episode 7, 8, and 9 of Star Wars, there's going to be a bunch of standalone movies that can take place in between, like in between those release dates of those big episodes, or the same year, or like sort of like Marvel's strategy of like a couple different movies in the universe
of every year. Snatch and grab. Snatch and grab.
So they actually started out with a rumor that there's going to be a Yoda standalone movie, and then confirmed it that there's going to be standalone movies, and then I think it was more confirmed today that there's going to be a movie based on young Han Solo, and then also a Boba Fett movie.
Boba Fett sounds cool,
yeah.
But young Han Solo, hey, didn't we try that with young Indiana Jones? How did that work out? Nobody likes Superboy. You know, like, why are we doing
this? It's just going to be him in, like, Imperial Academy doing training
and
stuff.
It's going to be him and Chewie in college. Whoa!
Getting speeder bike chases and stuff.
Yeah, man. I'm a smuggler.
Yep.
It's going to be like him and Lando as roommates, and then they win Chewie in a bet.
The whole movie based on them doing the Kessel Run.
Probably.
You've heard about it, fans. Now you can actually see the Kessel Run on the big screen.
That's what we call a callback. God damn. You know what I hate the most? The fact that you're probably right.
We're going to do this in less than 12 parsecs, Chewie.
And then Lando in the back. Fantastic.
They should do a Lando standalone movie.
Seriously.
Yeah, he's got a very interesting life.
A 70s blaxploitation Lando Calrissian movie.
Michael J. White is
exactly.
Lando Calrissian.
Black Dynamite in space.
Oh my gentle Jesus. That would be insane.
Space Fetus Dr. Wu. This is the Fetus Dr. Wu with like tentacles or something.
I threw that shit before I left the moon.
Yeah, he has like his like Russian cosmonaut monkey with him.
Space Amazon.
Yep.
Oh, goddamn! That show can't come back fast enough.
No.
Yeah.
Have you guys read any like the Boba Fett like comics or books or anything?
Not religiously.
Cause
no,
I mean, I could see an awesome Boba Fett movie where it's just like he would be like Clint Eastwood or something from like the Man with No Name trilogy, and just like going in like these like super backwater planets and just like fucking shit up and doing random jobs.
His dad did that more. Like Django did that.
Django Fett.
Yes.
Django Fett Unchained.
Oh my god, yes.
Why isn't that a t-shirt?
I think he just
not yet.
Get on that, T Fury, or
seriously.
Yeti.
Any artist out there with some shred of talent, unlike myself?
There's like a Boba Fett Assassin's Creed shirt that just came out.
Yeah, that looked really cool. I got the Hunter S. Thompson Batman logo. Uh-huh. It says Bat Country. Oh, loving it.
I don't know.
But alas.
Well, like, is there anyone else in the Star Wars universe who should get like a standalone movie?
Palpatine.
Young Palpatine.
Porkins.
It has to be a robot chicken Palpatine.
Jar Jar Binks.
No.
I want to know what his life was like.
It's like turning into almost like the most badass, like... he should be like a crazy badass and like, you know, like the end of like X-Men Origins Wolverine where he gets shot like with like the mind erase bullet.
Yeah.
Like, it should be like, he's like, gets like slammed in the head at the end of that movie and just becomes like an idiot.
He gets, like, knocked retarded by, like, a bucket of paint,
yep.
Like, with a Home Alone trap or something.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Like, kicked in the head by a horse.
He's, like, and all of a sudden, like, for the entire movie, he's just, like, speaking with, like, his, like, super, like, Michael Caine-style, like, British accent.
Yeah.
And then, like...
What you have here is two choices. You could blow your face off, or you could walk away with the money. Or, if you gave him just, like, a super fucking badass voice, like... Quentin Rampage Jackson or something.
Yes.
You know, some awesome voiceover. Some very scary black dude. And then by the end of the movie, he's talking like Jar Jar Binks.
You ghost this motherfucker.
Yeah, dude, that'd be different.
They should do like a Republic Commando movie or something, or like a Dark Forces Cal Tarn movie.
Well, here's what I want to know. There's that rumor going around about Zack Snyder doing a Star Wars spin-off movie loosely based on Seven Samurai.
Yeah, which they sort of think like not.
Let's not forget that J.J. Abrams is like, I am not directing Star Wars. And then like 4 minutes later, he was like, I am directing Star Wars. Yep. Tee-hee-hee.
Fool.
So, yeah, gotcha, noobs. So who knows? That's probably the same thing. Plus, he didn't deny it. It was his agent. He was like, nope, not happening. Nope.
I'm sure Samuel L. Jackson would do a Mace Windu movie if they did that.
Oh, God almighty. That would be cool.
Just like...
But I have a bad feeling like it's going to be Zack Snyder's Yoda.
Oh, my God.
Yoda Unchained.
I don't need to know, like, Yoda's, like young Yoda in training or whatever.
No. No, we don't. We don't need to know that, and furthermore, trying to explain that discredits and devalues the awesomeness and mystique of Little Green Yoda. Yeah.
It's going to be a Jabba the Hutt movie, which is like The Godfather, but with Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt before his wife died to, like, Hutt cancer.
Wasn't it the Clone Wars that they had Jabba the Hutt, like, the beginning where, like, they had to save his kid?
Well, he was in, like, episode one.
Oh, God damn it.
It's like weird, like not as fat Jabba.
No, not that. I mean, yeah, but it's like years later, during the Clone Wars, like someone steals Jabba's kid, and they have to go, like, the Jedi's have to go find
him. Was that the plot of, like, the actual, like, Clone Wars movie they put in theaters? I think it was.
Yeah, that was the first, and then they just made the series based
like
off of that.
Super effeminate. It's like, I want to be an actor or something. I don't know.
You are so disowned.
He had lipstick and blush on and stuff, but he was supposed to be a dude. It was, like, really weird.
I'm going to make you into a rug when you get back.
Yeah.
Jesus.
They had, like, Jabba the Hutt, like, solo. Like, he had, like, his own comic series, like, a three-part comic series there.
Oh, boy.
What lonely kid was reading that? Like, of all the shit out there.
It was, like, Jabba, like, sending people, like, trying to, like, take over, like, crimes and stuff. Crime businesses and stuff.
Ooh, space mafioso. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ray Liotta is young Jabba the Hutt.
Yes. It's just like Goodfellas, like voiceover.
Yeah.
In Huttese, it's like, Juka, Tuka, Tuta, Ta, Cha. It's like like Bob O'Reilly's playing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Good golly.
So speaking of Disney expansion and movie properties, they also own Marvel, obviously. And we actually got some crazy news possibly about upcoming Phase 3 movies from Marvel. So obviously, like, Phase 3, I think we talked about last week that Doctor Strange and Ant-Man are going to be part of Phase 3. And so there's a rumor going around earlier this week that possibly, like, Hulk 2 and also Avengers 3 might be based on Planet Hulk and then World War Hulk.
Yeah, that's a very respectable source that it came from, too.
Yeah, so I a ton of, like, crazy stuff that turns out to be true, so.
Yeah, man. El Mayembe is the shit over at Latino Review. Little plug for them, but, like, fucking... Ugh, it just makes so much sense that it made me so happy to read that. You know, because even if that's something that was, like, kicked around in a boardroom, like, at least it tells me that they're on the right track. Mm-hmm. Because that's like, perfect to have it happen, sort of, or to have the events in motion during Avengers 2, have that be a subplot of, like, you know, them having to send Hulk into space
They're obviously going to go into, like, obviously Avengers 2, they're going to go into space and fight Thanos. Probably they probably team with the Guardians of the Galaxy and then fight Thanos. Maybe like Infinity Gauntlet style.
Probably.
And so you can do like, maybe Hulk gets like cast into space or something, or...
Possibly.
Or like he just rages out, like he's like Hulk rages out on everyone and it almost causes everyone to get killed. So like, we need to do something about Hulk when they get back to Earth.
Well, I think another cool way to approach it would be like, if while they're up there, they just kind of decide like, hey... Like,
Hulk is,
even though
Hulk
we're fighting Thanos, like, this is kind of, like, our one chance to solve the Hulk problem.
Yeah.
Like, once and for all. But Apparently, according to the source, it's closer to, and this wasn't like confirmed, but from what he was saying with some fans on Twitter, was that it's closer to the storyline of the Marvel Illuminati.
Like all the brains of the Marvel Universe are assigned to,
pretty much, like Stark, Doctor Strange, Richards, which obviously they wouldn't do Reed Richards because of the shit with Fox, but, you know, T'Challa, but he probably won't be involved, and I think Namor, the Submariner. Point is,
like, it's like Cap, in like movie universe, it'll probably be like Nick Fury, Cap, Thor, and Iron Man.
So the Avengers.
Yeah.
They'll probably
Black Widow and Hawkeye with that.
Yeah, they'll be like stretching in the corner or something. But
maybe Agent Coulson.
Maybe, but regardless, I think a Planet Hulk movie by itself would be supremely badass.
Yes,
especially with it ending with him being like, you know, rocketed back to Earth.
Warbound.
Yeah, pretty much with the idea that like bad shit is coming, and then have Avengers 3 hopefully finally debut the Hulkbuster armor.
Yes.
Because goddamn, and that would just be the most epic like cinematic battle ever. Yeah. Potentially
the only thing if they do World War Hulk, I hope they change is like the final, like him fighting Sentry, because Sentry's like fucking stupid character.
Yes,
change, like,
yes.
Some other character.
Well, not to do a shameless plug here, but if you read the article that I wrote about this when it first broke, I said that the way they're setting it up with the Illuminati and whatnot, if that does turn out to be true, then that also very neatly can steer us towards a Civil War storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's something that, you know, might pan out in the future.
The only thing with Civil War is they need to kind of like expand the characters, like more characters introduced before there's like a huge Civil War thing.
Absolutely, which is why we would probably be talking more like Avengers 4.
Yeah,
for the Civil War to like officially kick
off,
where you'd probably have the rift.
Choosing like more characters in like the Shield show, of like, absolutely. Hey, it's Falcon.
Well, here's the thing.
Well, I mean, actually, Falcon's going to be in Cap too. So
yeah. But here's the thing about how Civil War could work. When you look at Marvel's model, their model is that they've got nothing but time.
Uh huh.
Like, think about it. Like, they're so based in the idea of like, let's develop it. Everyone gets a movie, and then it makes sense when they come together. Like, I don't think that they would ever rush into a Civil War movie without first making us give a shit about, you know, the individual characters in it. And furthermore, I don't think that they could do it properly without having the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man as Marvel movie properties. So that might be a little bit more of a pipe dream. However, I could certainly see the events of Planet Hulk and obviously World War Hulk leading to what would eventually be the cinematic equivalent of the Marvel Civil War on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope that these rumors do pan out, because no matter what, just to see Hulk as a fucking like intergalactic gladiator, oh, so cool.
And then coming back to Earth, like basically like forcing everyone to like fight gladiator battles in Madison Square Garden.
Pretty much.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. As the ruler of Earth.
Yeah.
Ugh.
With his like crazy alien like brotherhood.
And his like badass armor.
Yeah.
like Hulk isn't scary enough. Put him in spiked armor and give him like a giant fucking hammer.
Yeah.
Like that's, or axe or whatever it was. Like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty awesome news. And then last bit of news from this past week is that we got word that there's going to be a reboot of the quote-unquote classic show Thunderbirds, or Thunderbirds Argo, which was the marionette action adventure show where there was this team called the Thunderbirds that got in like spaceship, like rockets, and fought monsters and stuff. Basically, the entire basis for Team America World Police.
Yes.
And they also made, they tried to do there's a horrible live action movie
based with Tim Allen. With
Tim Allen.
I saw that movie.
Oh, God.
And it just keeps proving the fact that Tim Allen is every Tim Allen character in everything.
Yep.
You're a better man than me, Chris.
Yeah, so apparently they're talking about doing a new show, Weta, so the company behind Lord of the Rings and Hobbit, and a bunch of other special effects heavy movies are going to be doing the effects for it, and also I guess producing it or helping produce it. I don't know. They're involved, and then it's going to be a live action CG hybrid show.
Oh, good.
Does that mean the Thunderbirds are going to be CG and they're interacting with real people? Are they still be puppets? I don't know what the hell that means. It would be insane if it was the Thunderbirds are CG character, CG humans interacting with actual humans.
I thought you said CG Cubans for a minute. I was that's a little specific.
Oh, Thunderbirds!
Yeah. Hey, man.
Can Thunderbirds exist post Team America?
I don't think they can. I think they've
because people are people are going to be A, they're ripping off Team America, or B, I'm just going to watch Team America.
Yeah. Oh man, this makes me remember how great Team America was.
Yeah.
Which, but speaking of Team America, I think if ever the time was right for some sort of sequel.
Yes.
I think, given North Korea's video that they put out recently, I think the time would be now to strike while the iron's hot. But I digress.
So apparently that's a thing that's going to happen on TV sometime in the near future.
Good. Hopefully it'll be on a fucking
Reels. Reels channel, yeah. Getting into season 4 of True Justice or something.
Yes.
Steven Seagal will be starring as the lead Thunderbird.
They're going to do a crossover show.
Yep.
13 crosses over with True Justice, crosses over with Thunderbirds.
Yo, Thunderbirds, thanks for your help solving that triad murder that we were experiencing here in Vancouver.
No problem, Elijah. That's if they are CGI little people.
Yeah, I don't
or something.
They're
not Smurfs. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, is it gonna be Is it gonna be they're is it gonna be they're micro people or something? Or I don't.
They exist inside of a disturbed child's dreams.
They do.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Jimmy, there are no Thunderbirds. Why can't you understand? No, Mom, they're real.
They're saving the universe from whatever the Thunderbirds fight. Pirates or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ugh. Okay. I guess if you want to bring it back, bring it back.
Yeah.
Who am I to tell you how to spend your money?
Since this is Weta, Andy Serkis is every Thunderbird.
Good.
Oh my god. Can you imagine they may pull the CGI golem suit to be the marionette. So he's pretending to be a marionette on screen.
Mm-hmm. But CG marionettes, Chris, apparently.
Right, and he has to put on the suit to pretend to be a marionette that's CG.
He's they have a giant marionette rig that they set up and just attach the strings to his arms and pull him around.
Yep. And he just probably regrets for ever doing that the first time for Gollum. He's just fuck.
Go limp.
I think he actually set up his own just giant motion capture studio.
Well, I think it was a one-time thing that he wanted to do for Gollum, right? And then he just happened to always work for Peter Jackson, and he always happens to do CGI.
He's the master of motion capture.
Right, but I bet you he's just I don't want to be known for my face and my acting, not for the thing you don't see.
Not for my gestures.
Yeah.
He's been in things other than CG, The Prestige and that Simon Pegg movie.
Yeah, and that's two. He's probably got a very long history of other things that were just
looking hair.
I don't even know. I just feel bad.
Whatever.
Yeah, anyway, moving on to that's it for news, so when we get right to the new Russo end up.
That's more than I ever thought we'd talk about the Thunderbirds on this podcast.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So anyway, New Year's Roundup this week. Our pick of the week is Animaniacs Volume 4, which is sort of like the last season of the Animaniacs.
Boo.
We also have Flight, the Denzel Washington drunk pilot crashing movie.
A good genre.
Nominated for Best Actor, Denzel Washington.
Nominated for Best Black Pilot in a movie about flying planes.
Mm-hmm. Here Comes the Boom. Is that on DVD and Blu-ray this week? Are you going to watch it, Joe? Is it like, since you're like...
Shut up, guys!
I'll watch any movie that Boss Rutan is in.
Okay.
This is also the guy who saw Zookeeper in theaters, so...
This movie's UFC sanctioned, so...
Oh, good.
Unlike Warrior.
Yeah.
This is the movie that UFC backed instead of Warrior.
Yeah, well, you know. Guess who's, who's regretting that?
I think Here Comes the Boom did a little bit better than Warrior, actually, in theaters.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Yeah, Kevin James actually used to be roommates with Joe Rogan, so maybe there's some sort of like weird favor that was owed, or maybe the UFC was just like, yeah, we'll do a family movie to make our image a little less like brutal or something.
No, I'm going to make a picture, and then if you watch the movie, you can tell me if I'm right, Joe. But
yeah,
so it's all about like him trying to save like the school's music program.
Yep, and bang Penelope Cruz.
Selma Hayek, actually, but they're interchangeable.
Same thing.
Yeah. So he, I think he somehow gets like a big UFC fight. So his rare picks happens at the end of the Heroes Boom. He loses the fight, but then everyone hears like about his story and everything, and then Dana White, the UFC, is like, "Hey, we're gonna sponsor your school's music program.
Yeah,
here's a giant check.
Never let it go to the judges. What? Nothing. Never mind.
Ultimate Fighter FX Tuesday nights."
Yeah, that's fucking illegal, and other classic Dana White quotes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if I like, you can tell me if you watch it, Joe. You can tell me if I'm.
Oh, I sure will. So stay tuned for more Everything Action Cast.
So I don't think there's a possibility of like him winning, and then like, hey, he's the new UFC champion. You have to learn life lessons about failing, but then winning. Winning moral victories.
Yeah. Put Kevin James in there against Alistar Overeem or Bigfoot Silva. Mm-hmm. Or God help him, like Cain Velasquez. Oh, here you go.
I think if it's like Mayhem Miller at some point in the movie.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I could kind of see Kevin James putting a whooping on Mayhem. I mean, at least if I know nothing about MMA,
uh-huh,
and I'm just sort of like a babysitter taking a kid to see this, I'm like, okay, that fat guy who's kind of muscly, I think if he hits a skinny green-haired kid with a really good haymaker, I think that's the end. But
so also this week we have Peter Pan Diamond Edition Blu-ray.
Boom.
Disney classic.
Yes, and Disney Blu-rays are like top notch, so
yep.
That's worth it if you want to show it to your kids one day.
Before it goes back into the Disney Vault.
Forever.
Yeah. We also have Alex Cross coming out this week.
Alex Cross. Tyler Perry's one of three Tyler Perry movies where he's not wearing a dress.
Yep. And
where he's not Madea.
He hasn't directed it.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, he didn't direct this.
No, it was directed by Rob Cohen of XXX.
Man, I was at I was in Bermuda when that movie was out, and their like one movie theater that I saw,
yep,
that was the only movie that was playing.
Oh man!
And I was like, oh my god, like you poor people, I need to come and like liberate you. The actual films.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just like set the theater on fire? Or was like,
I thought about it. I really did.
So, also have Southland, the complete second, third, and fourth season in one set. So I don't know.
Second, third, and fourth, yeah, and not the first?
Well, I think the first was a separate, like, set. But then this is the second, third, and fourth season. So I don't know if it was, like, just super short, like, seasons or what the hell's going on, but. Because that show got canceled, then TNT picked it up and started airing new episodes. I think it was on, like, NBC or something. Hmm. Okay.
I would not know.
Also have Cougar Town, complete third season. You watched that, right, Chris? Because you like Scrubs.
I watched, like, the one or two episodes that had Ted from Scrubs in it.
It's basically, like, it's a Scrubs sequel, really, or it's in the same universe as Scrubs.
It's in the same universe.
And also, like, after Scrubs. Also, really in the same universe as Community, because Abed appears in the background of Cougar Town, and he talks about it on Community as his character. So, like, Cougar Town is a show in Community.
Jesus.
But then it also exists in its own universe. I don't. It's insanity.
No, I don't like to think about that. I just like to think is that it has the same characters in the universe.
Have you seen that like that giant diagram of like the St. Elsewhere, of like everything is in the St. Elsewhere bottle?
Oh yeah, I did see that for the hell like where like it
show,
starts from.
Every show connects to every show, and then it's like so everything takes place in the same universe in that autistic kid's bottle, the snow globe. We also have House of Cards, the original BBC trilogy. So the new UK, the new Netflix show is on Netflix right now. But it was based on a British show. You could watch the original British show if you want now.
There's no originality anymore. Come on, guys.
And then we also have Ultimate Spider-Man, Avenging Spider-Man, which I guess is a selection of episodes from Ultimate Spider-Man.
Jesus.
We have Toys in the Attic, which is a crazy, like, Eastern European animated movie that sort of rips off Toy Story.
You don't say.
So, like, you guys have probably seen, like, those, like, rip-off, like, well, Delgo was, like, a, like, actual American movie, but, like, those movies that come out, like the week of, that aren't silent movies, but, like, the anime movies that come out and, like, clearly, like, they're from, like, Romania. that Brave, like, it was, like, clearly ripping off Brave, but it was like some Brave Princess or something. Huh. So this is like sort of like that. It's some like weird English dub with like Forest Whitaker and Joan Cusack and
what?
They did like an English dub of the movie.
Yeah, but Forest Whitaker.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And then
I mean.
Last thing on this week, we have a Blu-ray double pack of Hostage and Setup. So, two movies, if you want to check those out.
I remember Hostage. I don't remember Setup.
Setup is Bruce Willis, 50 Cent, and Ryan Phillippe.
I feel like they're all caught in an elevator one day. They're just like, we'll be in a movie.
Yeah, let's make a movie. Okay. I'll make a movie.
So that's it for new releases. Not too much. Next week is going to be awesome, though, because Skyfall's out. So.
Da, da, da.
Skyfall!
Motherfucking Skyfall.
So why don't we get to show and tell for this week? And actually, do you guys care if I start? Because I have a crap load of stuff to talk about.
Go forth.
Okay, so just I'm going to cut through a couple of these quick. But I saw Dark Knight Returns Part 2. And pretty much agree with everything you said last week, Joe. Everything is awesome except for the voices.
Yes.
Although, I think Michael Emerson was okay when he was, like, sedated Joker. But when he had to, like, go on, like, full-on Joker, it was not good.
Yeah, there should have been a transformation.
Just, like, switch out, tag Mark Hamill in or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Pretty much nails it.
It's also kind of insane, like, it's like an anime movie, like, how violent it is.
Yeah.
Like, literally a guy gets his, like, head exploded by a gear in a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't cut away either. It's just, like, fountain, like, explosion of blood.
I'm hoping that's the trend, man. Mature, also, animated movies.
Top, like topless Nazi killer women.
Yep, with the swastika, I thought that whole sequence was going to be edited out.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought there, because honestly, you could gloss over that. That does nothing to the story except to introduce Superman into the plot.
Yep.
But they could have, like, delicately introduced another way.
No, it was like, but no. Nope.
Batman in like giant old woman troll camo.
Yeah, like old woman troll, yes. With RoboCop's voice.
Your move, creep. So bizarre.
You knocked over my shopping cart full of cans.
I need booze. Yeah, that's Frank Miller at his craziest, folks.
Mm-hmm. And like when he like when Joker like attacks like what's the talk show host name? David.
Oh, David.
It's like Endocrine or something.
And yeah, the David Endocrine show.
Yeah, when he attacks that show, that's like super disturbing.
Yeah, but the only thing is they never really explain. I mean, they don't do it in the comic either. But they don't really fully explain the whole, like, robotic children thing.
No, like...
too well. They just kind of show this, like, fat dude making it.
Yeah, is he supposed to be, like, a... You know what character he is? Because there's...
No.
Because there's Toymaker, who's, like... Right? Who's, like, a... He's on like, the Justice League side. Because he, like, makes it...
Yeah.
He, like, makes a giant robot and stuff.
I don't think it's explicitly anyone. I think it's just implied that it's, like, a former, like, associate, so to speak, of Joker's, like, because he talks about, like, the other guys.
Yeah.
Whatever, that were, like, in his crew. He's like, yeah, but I knew you'd be back. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just kind of, like, waited for your signal. And for whatever reason, he knows how to make, like,
living
robotic children that explode. Yeah, so. IDK.
And the Batman-Superman fight is amazing.
Yeah, they pulled off a lot of really, truly remarkable stuff
with
that, especially when you watch it as a whole, which I look forward very much to doing.
Mm-hmm. So watch that. And also watch something else you watched last week, Joe. Mama.
Fucking copycat.
Actually, I was forced to watch Mama because I was working at the movie theater, and it was sold out, and there's a bunch of stupid teenagers in there. So they wanted someone to stand in the theater the entire time and make sure no one talked or used cell phones or anything like that. So I basically just got paid to stand in there and watch Mama.
Well, how'd that work out for you?
Yeah, it was actually like a really solid horror movie.
Yeah.
I definitely agree that the ending is kind of stupid.
Yeah. Did you get paid to dress up as a mama and just like walk around?
I just my like usher.
My baby.
Like a vest. Like, yeah, just like run through the ear like, rah! Like just like twitching.
I was wronged.
Where's my baby? Government came and took my baby.
So like, do you agree with the whole weird, you know, neatly wrapped up ending that just like, they're not facing reality. They're just kind of like, and we did it. Love did it.
There's a lot of repression, but worse than that is the fact that after that whole, like, house sequence at the end, like, with the aunt and everything, like, that's where you, I mean, at least me, that's where I thought, I was like, oh, man, okay, here we are at the end, but there's, like, a half hour after that of, like, fucking, like, fairy tale bullshit.
Uh-huh. Was there a bunch of, like, harps and shit playing in the background?
It's not like love completely saves the day, because like they try to give Mama back her baby and she's like, it's dead. What?
Yeah.
What year is it?
You dick.
Yeah. You killed my baby.
You thought I wouldn't notice?
This
baby is very much dead.
This is a pumpkin with a face drawn on it.
This is a turd with a bunch of hair in it. What the hell?
This is a Mr. Potato Head doll. With the paper that says Mama's Baby staple to it.
Yeah, it says IOU, one child. One non-ghost child.
But yeah, and then, they just turn it to moss, I guess, or something. It's just, like, it's the weirdest, like, ending ever.
Behold, a thousand bugs.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
That's her hidden powers, to turn into moss.
Yeah, which just made no sense.
I think...
see them throughout the movie, but it's, like, it's never explained. So, I don't know.
Like, definitely when it was you got to see, like, Mama's, like, hair, like, going out a window or, like, a hand, that was, like, super creepy and awesome. But...
Yeah.
When you like or, see her like full like just like and here's Mama. It's like, okay.
She looks like a Down syndrome homeless woman when you like see her full face and everything. Yeah. But I thought some stuff really worked very well. Like for instance, like the hair thing on the floor.
Oh yeah.
Like that was pretty unique, I thought. Without going too much into it. Like that was very fucking cool, I thought. So yeah, some stuff top notch. Other stuff
what
like the whole ending.
I don't think you talk about like what do you think of Jessica Chastain as like punk rocker?
I thought that was very forced, to be honest with you. The whole like punk rock angle, especially I feel like there was a lot of that was cut. Because she's just like, I'm in a band, we're gonna make it. And then in the next scene she's like, I was in the band. And like leaves and
I
like,
just,
you
I have,
bitch.
Like, I'm seriously? Unemployed now.
Like I think it's just as effective if she's not even in a band and she's just kind of like, oh, like I'm young and into like the Misfits. Because she's like always wearing a Misfit shirt, which is fine with me. I fucking
shirt or something, yeah.
Yeah, I love the Misfits, but like, you know, it's just they just try to force like the whole punk thing a little bit too much because they could have again just had her been like, oh man, I am a young single mom. I'm not really ready for these two like wild animals like live here in this house that we like strangely inherited through some sort of legal loophole.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's definitely more fleshed out than the than Jamie Lannister though. There.
Yeah.
Chris knows who I'm talking about.
Wait, is she Mama?
No, Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Oh, wait, yeah, the uncle.
The uncle, yeah. Oh, the uncle. I heard that. The uncle and, like, the twin brother, apparently.
Oh, wait, this...
Yeah.
I didn't know they were twins, because it's probably... Oh, fuck, like, we need another male actor. Fuck it, put on this wig.
No, not even a wig, just, like, it's the same dude.
Same haircut,
yep,
too?
Yep, same haircut, everything.
Oh, it's so lazy.
But my name... I have a different name, so... We're different people. Well, I also thought, like, the youngest girl was awesome. Like, super creepy. Running around all fours.
I mean, the other girl was good, too, but, I mean, definitely the little one was the shining star.
Just, like, constantly running around all fours and, like...
That and, like, the creepy, like, smiles at nothing.
Yep.
Like, that was very cool, too, I thought.
Probably, like, one of the awesomest scenes was, like, when those guys, like, first find them in the house.
Oh, yeah.
They're just, like, just completely animals.
Yeah. That was a great subplot, how they're like, okay, well, we could save Victoria, but Lily is just, like, completely animal. Like, she's not even a human anymore. Like,
yeah.
There's no hope. The other one at least remembers language, like, as a thing.
Yeah, so watch that, and then, also watched, actually, TV-wise, I watched the premiere of The Americans.
Oh, how was that?
It was definitely up to the standards of FX shows, so it was awesome.
Wait, I thought it would be like Russian Felicity.
Shit, something else for me to watch.
Yes, like...
Damn it.
And it's going to take a couple of episodes like, to totally figure out, but I would say definitely like slightly under-justified right now. It was probably one of the best pilots I've seen in a long time.
How good was Justified this week, by the way?
I have not seen it yet.
Well, you should probably do that.
I'll probably do it as soon as we're done here.
It's just, like, Justified madness with, like, Boyd and Raylan, like, at its very best.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got everything.
I heard there's a lot of that guys.
Yeah, it's got, like, hill people, like, it's got, like, cowboy hats.
Moonshine,
and
tobacco spitting,
and Arlo, yeah. Like, it's just great.
Uh-huh. But the Americans,
yeah.
So, the basic plot is that there is this couple who are actually Russian spies, and they're basically just living as, like, super boring, normal American suburb couple with, like, two kids. And it's actually kind of, like, the cool part is that, like, you'd normally think, like, that the wife is the one who wants to, like, well, we should like, defect for our family and, like, because we want to like get in like danger or anything. But like Carrie Russell's the one who's like super like for the motherland. We have to like spy on these dirty American pigs. And then the husband is like, you know, if we defected, we probably get like a bunch of money and stuff. And we're basically Americans already, so we like get a bigger house and a cooler car. Capitalism's not that bad.
That's awful.
And then their kids have no idea that they're Russian.
Secret Ruskies.
Yeah. This is like hilarious because like Carrie Russell's like, well, we could like teach them to be like socialists or something, or to not be capitalists.
How rude.
Yeah, so there's a great like that, like the husband and wife like going in behind each other's backs and like doing like these like plotting against each other, but then also like working together too. And then also it gets crazier because a FBI agent moves right across the street who's a counter spy. And then he starts suspecting that something's up and like tries to like investigate their garage while they're away and like is like, because he was like undercover with like white supremacists for like a year, so he knows when people are like secretly undercover.
Yes.
And then they also have like their Russian overlords like giving them missions to do and like people to spy and people to capture and stuff like that. So lots of awesome like suspense plots and like plots competing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in the 80s and also has like a completely awesome 80s soundtrack. Like, nice. Like the big, like one of the biggest sequences toward the end of the episode is like set to "In the Air Tonight."
Oh, sweet!
And then you also do like a bunch of flashbacks, like them training in Russia, and like them first coming to America and stuff. So it's like it's a super awesome show. If you like any other FX shows, then it's definitely worth checking out.
Which I do very much. I basically watch everything on FX.
And thankfully, I think it's like one of their highest rated pilots and like one of their highest like reviewed pilots. So hopefully it's not going to turn like a Lights Out or like a Terriers situation.
Yeah.
You know, I would watch more FX if it was on Netflix. It's just I never have time.
It's weird what shows that, like they put on like Sons of Anarchy and they put on like.
Yeah, they put on their top stuff, but like I like their minor stuff too.
Yeah.
And it's like it takes a while for them to like figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch Legit, by the way?
No.
I watched the first episode.
Man, you need to watch that. Talking about good FX shows, Jim Jefferies is a fucking golden god, and this show is just so wrong, but so incredibly good.
Is it more than just British Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Far more. Okay. He's nothing like Louis C.K.
Okay.
Because Louis C.K. is like, oh, kids, oh, I don't like my life. Jim Jefferies like, everyone's a cunt. Like... I'm the only person that matters in my life.
Mm-hmm. So then also watched, I rewatched Anaconda.
Ooh.
Because How Does It Get Made was talking about it a couple weeks ago. They did like a live show about it.
Yeah, they did.
I think Doug Benson did a bunch of like interruptions on it. So I just decided to watch it again, and that movie is hilariously awful.
Yeah, it is.
It's like if you've never seen it, it's like you have to watch it just to watch John Voight if you're trying to figure out what the hell he's doing in that movie.
I always forget like Owen Wilson's in it.
Yeah, Owen Wilson, and, like,
Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo's in it with like they dubbed over his voice.
Oh my god!
It's like this like weird like high super high voice Danny Trejo that clearly he did not voice it at all.
Like I didn't like, notice Eric things Stultz, until they
Eric Stultz is in it and then like goes into a coma for like the rest of the movie. Like halfway through the movie he goes into a coma and just like is not in the movie. Ice Cube.
Yeah, Ice Cube's in it. Oh man.
Jennifer Lopez.
That's her like third movie or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Goddamn John Voight like doing like a Paraguayan accent that is just like
I thought he was supposed to be like French.
No, he's like, I am from Paraguay.
Very specifically, Paraguay.
The anaconda, once she gets a hold of you, you hear your bones breaking, and then your veins explode. And it's just like he and like Danny Trejo and like the driver of the boat were like plotting.
Mateo
were trying to like catch this anaconda to like sell to someone or something, because they never explained what exactly the plot of that movie is.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I listened to the pop to How This Get Made. I was like, oh yeah, there was something about that. They never explained.
They point out, because there's a news clipping of that, all three of them, with like the giant anaconda. So like, you know that they're like in cahoots together. But it's just like, what was their plan? Because like, Don Voight was like, John Voight just like left like a couple weeks earlier, or like, a couple days earlier, and then like, was like hiding out in that wrecked boat for them to pick him up. And then it was like, they were going to meet Danny Trejo at like, the warehouse in the middle of the jungle.
Good God.
So yeah, it's hilarious. Like it's awesome. Like get drunk and watch Anaconda movie and make fun of Anaconda.
Nice.
So it's like that part where like they explode like the freaking like barricade full of snakes. It's like raining snakes on the boat.
Yep, because like I think the natives built it as a dam to like not let people in, yeah. But then
also it's like somewhere like weird like snake worshipping thing.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, yeah. And then didn't they end up going to
well, they end up like
the
end
like, up finding, like, Lost Village.
Yeah, they end up because the whole point of like their documentary is that they're trying to find like this like mist tribe or like ghost tribe in the Amazon
of white black people or something.
Yeah, and then I guess they eventually find them in, like, the end of the movie. They somehow, like, float near their base or whatever, near their village. Actually, speaking of Danny Trejo, I also saw Death Race Inferno.
Oh.
The third Death Race movie.
And what'd you say?
It was actually, I'd say it's better than Death Race 2, but it's kind of weird because you kind of have to watch Death Race 2 before Death Race 3. Because they don't...
That's usually how you have to do it.
Well, because it's all the same characters from Death Race 2, but they don't explain who anyone is or anything that happened in Death Race 2, so it's just like... So you just assume you saw Death Race 2, and now you're watching Death Race 3. And it's kind of cool because they changed it up, so... Because, like, Death Race 2 is basically just Death Race 1 over again, with, like, not Jason Statham. Dan Trejo instead of Ian McKay.
It's Luke Evans.
No, it's Luke Goss, isn't it? Is the guy's name? He plays like his character is like Carl Lucas or something. But yeah, so anyway, it's they change up the setting and everything because like the first one was like in the same prison, all the same cars, pretty much the exact same movie. This one is in like they actually Dougray Scott, who's like the bad guy of Mission Impossible 2, and a bunch of other movies. He steals Death Race from Ving Rhames and like this like hostile takeover, and basically wants to like franchise it across to all these like crazy prisons across the world. So the first franchise race they're doing is like this race in Africa, across like the desert. So it's all like they get like crazy like desert cars. It's like the kind of like the Baja 500, but with like machine guns. So they have like a bunch of they actually take like the. I forget what car they use, but I think it's like a Mustang or something that like is like the main car. They basically put like off-road tires on it, so it's like an off-road car now.
But I don't think you can put a Mustang. You can do that. Like your Mustang doesn't work well in sand.
Yeah. But then they also have giant trucks, and also like weirdly like the other character besides Frankenstein that is like recurring is like 14K. He's like the Asian guy who gets like killed in the like Death Race 1. But he has like a dune buggy, and there's a bunch of like another set of like crazy drivers that they introduce with like horribly cheesy like intro videos, which I think is one of my favorite parts of Death Race. Is like, because I want to meet like the guy who like announces Death Race, like the guy who does like, all the voiceover stuff. He's like, order Death Race now. For $19.99, you get special Frankenstein merchandise.
I mean, it's cool that they kind of make fun of themselves for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to the universe. But I feel like they're also trying to... Like, that's what happens when you start milking franchises that, like, are... They're like... Death Race 1 was, like, a cult favorite because based off the other cult favorite.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's no, like, massive Death Race 2, like, fan club.
No. I think most people forgot it came out.
Right, so when Death Race 3 came out, because you were, like, scratching your heads going, like, they needed a third one?
I love that the fact, like... You saw Death Race 2, right, Chris? Yeah. So I love the fact that, like, they, because, like, in Accessories 2, our main dude there, Lucas, gets, like, horribly, horribly burned. That's why he becomes Frankenstein, because he puts on the mask and everything. To, like, because he's just, like, he gets in a wreck and, like, explodes. So he's, like,
and
he has, like, third-degree burns. So they, like, make the Frankenstein mask for him so they, like, hide his face. But then, like, like one line in Death Race Inferno is, like, oh, well, we didn't want you to die because your skin was getting infected, so we gave you surgery that fixed your...
So we made you new skin.
Yeah, we made you new skin to fix your face. It's like, thanks, Ving Rhames. Like, the craziest part of Death Race Inferno, too, is, like, they do, like, this, like, 20-minute or, like, 10-minute sequence at the end of, like... Because it's, like, this, like, crazy, like, Ocean's Eleven-style con that they pull on DeGray Scott. So it's, like... It's, like, they do this whole thing, and, like, everyone's, like, oh, man, they all got exploded, they all died or something. Then, like, they show up, and, like, it's, like, how'd you guys do that? And it's, like, here's how we did it. And it's, like, rewinds the entire movie, and, like, just, like, shows, like, all this, like... Like, Saw-style or, like, Ocean's Eleven-style, like, showing up the setup for everything. Of how they pulled off, like, this crazy, like, con on the dude.
Like, I imagine it wouldn't be that complex.
It was like, we had Dane Trejo press a button and stuff exploded next to him and he pretended to die. And then we jumped out of the car at the last second and then it blew up.
And then we told Jason Statham, hey, you're going to be in the next Death Race. Yeah. Bye.
Mm-hmm. They actually, like, they set up, like, Joan Allen and Ian McShane in, like, this movie, too, of, like, here's your new mechanic since Danny Trejo died.
No, actually, they introduced Ian McShane?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool that they are trying to keep, like, the story kind of, like, explained.
Like, two in this one, they set up, like, Joan Allen as, like, the warden for the first one. Like, oh, she's taken over as warden. Because the other two, they had, like, another warden. And then he got, like, they, like, fired him or something, or fired her. But it's on Netflix if you want to watch a stupid... if you like the Death Race movies, it's a stupid, fun movie. And
it's on Netflix already.
Yeah, it came out on Netflix before it came on DVD, which is weird.
Nice.
And also watched All Superheroes Must Die, which came out on DVD last week. It's a...
Saw-type movie.
Independent, right? Like, superheroes meets Saw. Where it's like this team of four superheroes gets... captured by, like, this villain, and then he rigs this, like, entire small town with, like, explosives and captures a bunch of, like, innocent people and, like, rigs up a bunch of games that these superheroes have, like, make their way through and defeat.
I love it.
And it's sort of like, it's like Kick-Ass meets Saw, because it's, like, they're, like, the heroes are, like, constantly swearing at each other and, like, being dicks. But it's also not like Kick-Ass, because they have actual powers, but they get taken away by the villain.
Wait, do any of the traps actually not work for the first few times?
Actually, like, they failed the traps, like, a bunch of, like, constantly. But it's not, like, traps, it's, like, you have to do this certain thing in a certain amount of time or else the bomb's gonna go off and kill these innocent people.
Oh, like, trials, then.
Yeah. Like, one, like, the first thing they have to do is, like, so there's four of them, they split up in teams of two, and two of them have to, like, fight, like, this, like, Uncle Sam guy with a flamethrower. And the other guys have to, like, fight this, like, guy, like, this, like, giant strong guy on a trampoline. So you have to kill that guy, the killer villain in, like, a minute, and then stop the fuse from going off on this bomb. But then they sort of figure out that the villain is, like, somewhere in town and is, like, watching them through surveillance video. So, like, he's detonating stuff early. They get near the people. So, like, there's, like, no way they can win this. There's no way they can win the games. So they have to, like, try to figure out, like, where he is in town and, like, stop him.
I could kind of see that. Like, does it look good quality wise? Did it look like a good independent movie?
Yeah, it's good independent. It's like, have you seen any of, like, the the Batman fan films and stuff like that?
In the past, yeah.
Like any some of those, like it's like super well done fan film quality.
Okay, I could see that.
Because it's, like, the biggest star is, like, James Remar. Like, you know, Raiden from Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and then he's also in...
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, he's that guy. He's in, like, everything. He's the villain. And then everyone else is just, like, no name actor.
Good, so they blew the budget on him.
But it's an awesome premise. And it's definitely a cool movie to check out if you like Saw, or if you want to see Kick Ass or anything like that. So it's at Redbox and stuff. You can also rent it. I think it would have been. I don't know if it would be better if it had been a 15 minute or half an hour web video. It's sort of a concept of hey, give us some money, we will make this movie.
Like another Mama.
Yeah, sort of like Mama or any of the other like District 9.
Well, Saw originally was a short movie.
Yeah.
So.
I think it might have worked, but maybe kickstarted it. Maybe. Is make a concept and then kickstart it and make an actual. Cause I don't know what their budget was, but I don't know. It couldn't have been that much. So it may have been better if, I don't think there's any, real big studio behind them releasing it. But I think, if it had gotten, a slightly bigger budget and maybe, more elaborate, traps that they had to face off, I think it would have been, more, because they only actually get into, a fight with, two henchmen villains. So maybe if they got more crazy villains to fight too, I think it would have been an awesome movie. Right now, right as it is right now, it's a solid indie superhero movie, but not anything too crazy.
Is it bloody?
It's pretty bloody.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely heavily inspired by Kick-Ass, I would say. Kick-Ass and Saw. And then a couple more. I saw the original Django.
What'd you think?
It was actually a pretty badass Western.
What do you think about the coffin?
It's I don't know. He can't find anything smaller that it's more convenient to carry.
No, it's just I drag this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That has my machine gun in it. Which is it's fucking it's pretty awesome when it's revealed what's in the coffin. It's oh, it's a machine gun. I'm just gonna murder 60 of these gang members.
It's cool because certain video games or literature or whatever, if they saw the original Django, they feature the coffin, and it's just that's so cumbersome. But you get it, how the moment where it reveals what's inside, it's kind of fun.
Man, it's his past. He has to drag her out with him.
Oh, I think it was supposed to be he calls it his wife or something.
Well, plot of the original Django is that he's coming. It's sort of near the Mexican border. He ends up in this town that's been overrun. There's just this war going on between this gang and this Mexican army gang, this renegade Mexican general and this gang leader who are having this turf war. And Django sort of gets in the middle of it, and then he's also there to kill the head of the gang because that guy killed his wife during the Civil War or something. Something happened during the Civil War that his wife got killed by this guy, so he's out for revenge.
He drags the coffin as to remind everyone that he's got a mission to do or something.
Yeah.
But that gets disregarded real fast in the sequels.
Uh-huh. Well, he loses the coffin in Django and in this one because he fills it with gold. He steals all the gold that they get. Cause he basically teams up with the Mexicans for a while. They go rob the militia or something and they rob all the gold from them. And then he was gonna the Mexican general is a friend of Django's and he's they're gonna split it equally, but then Django steals all of it and then runs off with the hooker they say at the beginning of the movie. And then he loses the coffin into this quicksand.
Yep, it's too heavy.
Yeah, so he loses that and then the hooker gets shot and then he also gets his hand smashed by the Mexicans.
If you remember Last Man Standing.
Yeah, it's definitely that stuff.
Well, that gets derived from this.
Him playing both sides to get his, but following his own agenda.
Right. It definitely is I think it came out almost a year before.
Aren't all of those based on Yojimbo? So
yeah, that came out centuries before.
Yeah,
but
not maybe centuries, not centuries, but way decades before, in the '50s.
Yeah, I'm not sure how old Yojimbo is, because I'm not sure if it was based on a story first.
I'm sure it's based on some sort of Japanese story or
yeah, whatever. But yeah, every cowboy, those are good cowboy movies. Django, just you don't see too much because it's just like, first of all, it's like never been fully translated properly.
I think it got overshadowed by the Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood's are way better in the sense like of. Because like, Django
is dragged. They're both Italian directors, Italian stuff. Like, we're going to do spaghetti westerns. So.
They're both spaghetti westerns.
But, like, the Clint Eastwood just came out and like, sort of dominated everything. So Django.
Plus, got, like, it's Clint Eastwood. Yeah. Like.
Well, Franco Nero's pretty badass.
Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood doesn't have a machine gun, so he has, like,
it's
a metal bulletproof chest plate that he wears and a poncho. But it also has pretty much nothing to do with Django Unchained. So except for, like, they took the theme song and the character name. The crazy Tom Jones-esque theme song. Django.
But yeah, you interested in seeing any of the other ones?
I mean, the only reason I watched Django because it was like a 99-cent rental on the PS PlayStation Store. So maybe if they do any other ones, I'll check them out. Or if they're on Netflix, I don't know. Are they on Netflix at all? You know?
No.
Okay. No. Yeah.
Well, besides the Japanese remake one. That one's kind of weird.
So it's like they're like super hard to find. So that's why I was like, oh, Django. I haven't seen it anywhere. So now it's on the PlayStation Store. I'll just rent it. And Django Unchained was awesome. So I just want to see we'll see where it came from.
Good reason.
And then last thing, before I lose my voice, I'm talking for like half hour straight of like nonstop. But I saw Bullet to the Head, the new Stallone. Action movie from Walter Hill, who gave us like The Warriors and 48 Hours. Review up on the site of that, but it was definitely a solid, not spectacular action movie. I gave it a 3 out of 5, so that's nice and average.
Is it better than Last Stand?
I would say Last Stand is more fun because more like it's got more crazy characters and stuff, but. I'd say action-wise, I'd say Bullet to the Head's better.
Okay.
But basically, like, the plot of Bullet to the Head is you have Stallone, who's a hitman, and then you have Sung Kang of from Fast and Furious, Han, who's a cop from Washington, D.C., and both of their partners get killed by sort of in the same sort of scheme by this evil New Orleans crime boss, and then Jason Momoa is their assassin who's doing everything. And so they basically team up and sort of like team up to take down their mutual enemy, this crime boss guy, and then figure out what he's doing and stop him. And it's not really a buddy movie because they pretty much hate each other the entire movie and they also like don't really become friends through it, which is kind of nice. It's not like, oh man, we lived through that. Now we're best friends. It's like
we should barbecue at each other's places.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, you helped me with this thing, but I'm a cop and you're a hitman, and I still need to arrest you. It's like, well, I hate cops, so fuck you. Actually, probably the best part of the movie is Jason Momoa because he's like super badass and awesome.
I know he's so. If he's not Conan, I'm fine with him. You know,
this is definitely more toward the Khal Drogo side of the scale.
Which, oh man.
Game of Thrones.
I know, but just like if you see Khal Drogo and you're like, oh, I could see him as Conan, and then you see Conan, you're like, what happened?
Yeah. Maybe he's like just like not talk English or something, or have like crazy, like just ride horses the entire time. But he's just awesome. Like he shows up like every once in a while in the beginning, and then sort of like gets more and more. Toward the end of the movie, till they get into the final axe fight between him and Stallone, which is just awesome. It's almost as awesome as you think it is. Like a Stallone Jason Momoa axe fight.
He seemed really calm about it too. It was like, here's an axe, let's do it. Like, okay. It
sounds like whatever, man. But he's at a couple of awesome like when he kills Stallone's partner, he just like he's like it's like in the middle of like crazy like. Like a Cajun bar that's playing like Zydeco music or something. So like he pretends to be drunk and like sneaks up and like just like dumps his beer on like Stallone's partner and just like stabs him in the armpits to like and so like no one can tell that he's like been stabbed and just like walks out. And then
that's pretty
and basically then like basically later like he takes out like an entire room, like it's basically like 10 guys or so with just like takes them all out and steals like his files for like his evil boss. And so there's what a couple. It's actually no. It's more of like I said in a review, but it's more like a. It's kind of like more of like a noir movie a little bit because it's like
it does not even seem like that.
It's
on the trail
because it's not like slam. It's not like Expendables or it's like just like constant action. It's like quick bursts of action, and then like they're like mostly like in them and like questioning people and investigating people, and it's like constant like Stallone voiceover of like him like, I got arrested a lot as a kid. And then I got into killing people. Oh, Stallone also has the worst action hero name I've ever heard, possibly. His name's James Bonomo, but then everyone calls him Jimmy Bobo.
So it's very like intimidating when it's like, hey, Bobo.
Hey, Bobo. Yeah.
God, I think I'm someone else who had a really stupid action hero name that just they don't call him that. But... again, that doesn't rival like Seagal.
Oh God!
Hey, my name's Nico. Like, no.
Stallone like is throwing darts at a board of like first name last name.
My name's Jimmy, and I hit someone like, what's your name?
And then they spin the wheel for like what the title of the movie's gonna be.
Yeah. Okay. Why is it called Bullet to the Head?
It's based on a graphic novel that was called Bullet to the Head. But also,
it's actually based on a graphic novel.
Yeah, a French graphic novel, I believe, because it's like Le Jeu de Paume de Bullet, some French name. But it's like Stallone like says that at one point, like you gotta be ready to put a bullet to the head.
The
cop, but you gotta be ready to. You're not ready to put a bullet to the head if you need to. I am. And yeah, so. Awesome, like, final, like, X fight. There's also a pretty awesome, like, Stallone gets to a fight in, like a sauna with, like, this, like, mid-level guy. So it's, like, this, like, crazy, like near a pool, just, like, smashing each other with, like, into, like, massage tables and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's pretty awesome. For all, like, the action and stuff, they actually, like, it's basically, like, there's no music, and just, like, noise of, like, the punches and the gunshots and stuff. It's, like, super, like, it feels, like, super solid and, like, super, like, vicious. So I would say, it's definitely, if you're, like, a huge Stallone fan or, like, action fan, go check it out in theaters. You can also, like, wait till DVD, Blu-ray if you're, like, more of, like, a casual fan. Like, it's not gonna be, like, a classic, I don't think, of Stallone, but it's a solid movie for right now.
That's good.
But it's on neither Last Stand or Parker or Bullet to the Head. They all flopped at the box office. So I'm just wondering, like, I just read my article about, like, the state of action right now.
No, I didn't check that out. Sorry.
You have to check it out. But I don't know if, like, it's, like, if it's just the time of year or if people are just, like, not interested in, like, action stars anymore or if it's, like, everything shifted. It's kind of weird, like, Statham, Stallone, and Schwarzenegger all have movies that just flop 3 weeks in a row.
Well, Parker looked like a weird-ass movie, because me and Joe, like, called on it, where, like, it tried to be an action movie, but it's actually a romantic comedy.
Yeah, it's more of a heist movie, I've heard.
But it's just so much, like, it's Jennifer Lopez, and she's sexy, and it's Jason Statham, and he's ripped, and it's just like, well... I know. I can tell what they're gonna do. It's like freaking Katherine Heigl play-by-play.
Yeah, it's like one for the money or something.
Yeah.
The bounty hunter.
The bank robber.
Yeah, I think. I mean, we'll have to see how Good Day to Die Hard does next week.
I hope that does well.
That should. I mean, Bruce Willis seems like to be the only one of like the old school action stars who is like actually still pretty big. Because like Red was huge. But actually, you definitely check my article because I try to figure out like who is our action stars right now. And it's like The Rock, and Liam Neeson. Like, who would, like, who would have guessed, like, a couple years ago that Liam Neeson would be, like, the biggest action star?
Well, the most favorable right now. I mean, Taken 2.
Even, like, even Taken 2 was, like, mediocre, and it still made a ton of money. They're making Taken 3 pretty much guaranteed.
I don't want them to. It's not...
It's also, like, Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg, yeah, he's... And then, the like, modern day action
and then, like,
star
the, like, the most, like, recent upcoming one is, like, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. But did Hansel and Gretel do okay?
It did. I mean, it was number one the weekend it came out, so, but there was, like, nothing else out.
See, it doesn't count if you're number one sort of, and no one else competed.
I think action, it's, we sort of shifted to, like, superhero action and, like, fantasy action. It's not, like, old school, like, military or, like, renegade cops. You know, it's like Avengers and...
We're like fantasy action now.
Yeah. Mm. Like 300. Yeah, I mean, definitely it's like good day to Die Hard. We'll have to see how that does. And like the Tomb later this year, like maybe if Schwarzenegger and Stallone are in the same movie, it'll do a little bit better.
Well, I'll see that. Like, that's two for one right there.
Because, like, if they have a couple, like, if any of those guys have a couple more of, like, just horrible box office flops, then I think they'll probably be joining, like, Dolph Lundgren and Seagal and, like, direct-to-DVD world.
Well, even though, but then they got against them, then. It's like a big rumble pit.
Yeah. And even though Dolph Lundgren has some pretty awesome, like, direct-to-DVD movies, like, Committed Performance and stuff. But, yeah, anyway, that's all I've been watching, which is... a crap load. So, what are you watching, Chris? Like, rest my voice for a little bit.
All right. So, I guess I'll talk about the lesser of the two. To celebrate the whole North Korea thing becoming more like evil, I watched Die Another Day because I was just on TV for like the weekend. So, it's not the strongest of the Bond films, but it's actually pretty like
it's the worst Bond movie ever made, Chris.
I don't.
It is the worst Bond movie ever made.
It might maybe the worst modern, but in the terms of like story, there's just so much like shit going on in that movie.
He surfs on an iceberg.
Okay. Visually, it's stupid. Like, yes,
possibly like maybe the worst, like one of the worst Bond girls ever.
No.
Jinx.
Well, she at least did things. Like, she didn't like fucking need help that much. Of all the Bond girls, like, okay, you gotta think of this. We think Bond, we think classical damsel in distress, mm-hmm. or, like, a scientist, a researcher, a musician, some, like, innocent caught in the act. And then we have the girls who actually know what they're doing, and they usually get killed within the first, they're usually the first Bond girl that usually gets killed, you know? Mm-hmm. There's usually two Bond girls, and then he fucks one, the other one dies.
Yep.
In this movie, he got to fuck everyone. Except, like, Judi Dench and, like, Madonna. So...
Oh, he probably banged Madonna sometime in the past.
Probably, because they had this weird flirty talk, and I'm just like, oh, this is awkward.
Let me stab my sword into something, or something like that.
Something like holding your sword, getting your point. Yeah. I don't know, it's stupid.
They had that, like, it's stupid, like, for blood duel at the
oh my club. God. We talked about this like a few years ago, where we're like, if you did this in any kind of event, you get kicked out. It doesn't matter how rich you are, you just get kicked out, because it's like, you are out of this club.
Yeah.
As soon as you break the glass of, like, containers in the room, the fight's over. You just, okay, like, this is also, like, Britain. This isn't America, like, street fights. Yeah. This is, like, it's a well-to-do, like, man's club.
Yeah, super high-end, like, super high-class, like, sword, like, dueling, fencing club.
Right.
But they have, like, brand, like 100-year-old brandy and, like, suits of armor and shit.
And this is England, so it's, like, there's standards and practices there. And it's, like, you gotta leave. Like, I understand this is someone's basement.
Although the North Korean guy does become, basically, like, Richard Branson.
Oh, my God. I still don't understand how he was able to do all... Like, I get, like, he got a face transition and he did the face-off thing where, like, he got bone marrow and became a white guy.
Face-off.
I get that. And then his superpower was being white and British, yeah. And he couldn't sleep. Like, did you notice that? Like, he doesn't sleep because...
Does he can't sleep, or does he just chooses not to sleep?
No. It's like the operation, because the way he was when they did it was so like weird. He just, his body won't sleep.
Okay.
So
he's like that one villain who like from Tomorrow Never Dies. No, World's Not Enough. Like he.
World's Not Enough, where he couldn't feel pain.
Yeah, he can't feel pain anymore.
Oh my god! And this is like this. It's like Pierce Brosnan's Bond was like all the women he loved. In like the last two movies, really, they've all betrayed him.
Yep.
Elektra, fucking
Miranda Frost.
Miranda Frost, like they just
betrayed.
Like,
was icy. they were in an ice castle, and she had an icy personality.
Yeah, that was the weirdest pun. But you know what? I like the charm of it. You know, I really like the. They're trying to do like a lot of things at once. They try to introduce like a black character that wasn't gonna get killed. She had like her own agenda. She didn't need Bond to like fight for her a couple times. Like think about it, she didn't get kidnapped. I mean, yeah, she did, but she didn't get like.
They had some awesome ideas that it just failed spectacularly to capitalize on, like
old
Bond, or like disavowed Bond.
Disavowed, but they did that again. In like later movies, like,
yeah.
But like it, that's what I mean. Like these are great concepts. These were like new because Disavow Bond happened a couple times.
Skyfall does everything that Dino Day was trying to do like a million times better. They think like Bond is they think is dead and then he comes back and then he's getting older and he's not up to like maybe he's not up to like 007 status anymore.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, Dino Day is not a terrible movie because the ideas are presented better in modern, in, like, the newest ones, but the ideas still exist back then.
But Skyfall is like, all right, awesome villain, Daniel Craig, like, serious tone, actual plot. Dino Day is like, we got an invisible car and ice.
No, there were diamonds. Like, yeah. Diamonds.
And the main villain uses a power glove as like his main weapon to like control
it. It became like a power glove, and then it became a suit.
Yeah,
it became a fucking suit,
a mech suit on like his giant plane that he uses to like control a solar satellite to like destroy the minefield between North Korea and South Korea.
Yeah.
Everything about that sentence is stupid.
No, it isn't. No, that was kind of cool, to a degree. Like, of course, it goes off the deep end.
He should have just been like, I love my power suit. It's so bad.
Well, he showed it to his dad, and his dad freaked out and tried to kill him. Remember that? Like, he's just like, no, too much power.
I don't know you anymore. My son is dead.
Son died. Like, oh. Like, again, the fact that, like, the twist was that, you know, not Richard Branson was actually, like, some Korean guy.
Yeah.
Which I was like... That's kind of weird, and then they explain it like, "Oh, that's even worse."
We can't have a North Korean villain for our bad guy, so we're gonna make a British bad. He's gonna turn into a British bad guy for no reason,
like
because of science.
And like, what they went to Cuba to go for that scientist thing,
like the most advanced technology in the history of the planet. Like, we can make you a new face.
Well, not even that. Like, they could recreate everything. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was so weird. They try to explain it real fast, where it's like, oh, you know, it's like they try to do the Jurassic Park DNA splicing.
They're like the face-off, like, clinic went to Cuba and, like, set up as, like, a plastic surgery place.
Yes. And it seemed like anyone who got through it seemed fine, besides, like, the one guy, you know, like, the one Richard Branson guy. But, like, how long was Bond in Korea for in the beginning? Like, a year?
I think it was, like, a year. Or like six months to a year, I think he was held captive for.
Okay, so how the hell did this Korean guy, like, drag himself out of that, like, ravine?
Yeah,
go to Cuba.
Pay for this, like, crazy surgery.
And then find a diamond, like a diamond mine.
Yeah, make even more money and then become, like, Britain's, like, super playboy.
If I were him, besides the revenge for, like, North and South Korea, I would have just been Richard Branson. Just, okay, well, that's it. Like, I'm dirty rich.
I'm building a spaceship and going to the moon.
I've got a spaceship that I can just control without telling anyone. Like,
I'm just going to drive my fucking rocket car in Iceland.
He has, like, multiple layers. He has multiple layers.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, are you, like, probably one in London, one in, like, the Arctic.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Just call it quits. Be like, well, I'm comfortable.
He has like a crazy like air layer, which is like just like a plane that has like fucking like library in it and like
Yeah, there's so much shit in that air layer.
And, like, a helicopter in it, and, like, a giant observation deck.
I don't know. I just felt like this guy could have stopped at any point, and Bond had been like, I have no proof. Like, he really didn't have proof up until, like, near the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Where, like, he found the mask and all that shit, and he's like, well, okay, the guy's Korean. Now, turn around and explain it to, like, the courts. Be like, this white man... is a Korean man that I killed like almost a year ago.
On a hovercraft.
In a hovercraft. That I escaped from North Korea. Like, oh, okay, well, I can find him, but the dude was like unlimited money rich, you know? Yeah. Like, the dude had, it was so, he was Tony Stark rich, but money didn't mean anything.
Yep. It's
like, he just really loved his fucking place.
I made an ice hotel and I bought a rocket car.
Yeah, he had a rocket car, he had a mech suit, he had a plane, yep. He had,
a laser satellite.
Oh my, he had, like, a bumbling scientist friend who helped build shit. He had a hot agent.
He had, like, an ice greenhouse, so he had, like, plants, like a rainforest in, like, Iceland.
Yep, he had, like, a good henchman friend with diamonds in his face.
Yeah.
He also had, like, a big Samoan, which they introduced really abruptly, and then they just killed him off real fast. Yeah. Hit the laser through his mouth. Yeah. Remember that? So, like, all these cool concepts. I'm like, wow, I wish they fleshed things out. And they just quickly, like, brush them off. I was like, oh, okay. So, yes, it's... To some people hate it. I know you don't like it. You don't like it for, like, a lot of reasons.
No,
the plot, the sidekicks, the music video.
Oh, yeah, worst Bond theme ever.
What? You live to die another day.
Da, 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 da.
I still like Tomorrow Never Dies. It's pretty good. And you hate that one, too.
Tomorrow Never Dies is definitely better than Die Another Day, but not by much.
Okay, think of this. Would I watch a movie about a news corporation rigging the world to sell more newspapers? Or a North Korean becoming a British man?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, these are both weird suggestions, but it's like, what am I going to, like, choose from, then? All right. So then... prior to these movies, me and Joe hung out and we watched Stolen.
Yes, we can finally talk about. I probably should let you guys talk about that first, because I want to hear Joe's opinion.
Well, he Joe already had to sign off, but yeah, Stolen.
Yeah, because I watched this.
Basically, your suggestion.
I watched this like what a couple months ago, like before Christmas.
Maybe.
Yeah. It was the weirdest. Like, it was in Redbox, but then it didn't officially like release on DVD to like a couple weeks ago. So, it was like in Redbox or some sort of deal, but like you couldn't buy it. But yeah, one of the two Nicolas Cage movies from last year, along with the Brown Bunny Jumps or whatever, Seeking Justice. Both are they both on Netflix right now too?
I don't
think Stolen's on Netflix, but Seeking Justice
is. Yeah. All right, so just to quickly over the plot, it's about a bank robber who gets out of jail, and his former best friend slash, like, bank robber associate kidnaps his daughter.
Yep.
And terrorizes him by, like,
driving,
by demanding
like,
the money that
he stole. Like, yeah. Basically,
so,
he owes him money from the last heist.
Right, so I was like, oh, and he waited 10 years to do this? Like,
yeah.
He just didn't...
He politely waited until Nicolas Cage got released from jail.
The exact day.
Yeah.
Like, all this planning and shit. And his, okay, so I know you watch this. I don't need to repeat it to you. Some of the viewers, well, have stolen such a flimsy plot that, like, I just explained it. How do I explain the whole, like, not Bradley Cooper. Like,
it's Josh Lucas.
Josh Lucas.
Who is basically copying Bradley Cooper from Hit and Run. It's like,
yeah, weird, like, it's like, just so weird.
He is,
like, Josh Lucas, though, is not bad. Like, I actually like his character. It's so over the top.
He's so fucking insane. Like, it's crazy for him because he's usually, like, super, like, straight. Like, I'm the lawyer. I need to file paperwork in this movie. But he's like coked out, like, half 80s metal, like, washed up 80s metal singer slash pirate.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Because he's missing a leg.
And missing fingers.
Yeah, missing fingers, missing a leg. Because of, like...
being shot in the leg.
Which is all his fault.
Yes, 100%.
Everything in this movie is his fault. And he's just like, no, you owe me, Nicolas Cage.
And I really don't understand. Okay, let's go back to bubbling FBI. Nicolas Cage goes to the FBI to say, hey, my old friend stole my daughter. I just got out of jail. I have nothing to gain or lose. Why don't you believe me? And they're just like, no, we don't believe you at all.
Thief Nicolas Cage.
In fact, we might just arrest you again for fun.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh my God. So yeah. And like, I thought that too. Like, why doesn't he just tell the police that like his old friend is back from the grave and he's actually doing shit? Like, he's got his daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know. And, like, they don't believe him for the longest time.
Well, the best part, like, the original heist is, like, they steal, like, some the money from a bank. Like, they drill through a wall through, like, a toy store and get into, like, sewers. And it's, like, this crazy elaborate plan. And then they're, like, running out the back exit and there's, like, a janitor there or something.
Yeah, like, just some janitor. Yeah.
And Jesse Lee's like, well, we gotta kill him because he's a witness. And Nicolas Cage is like, no. And so he, like, shoots, like, instead of, like, having, like, he shoots Josh Lucas in the leg to, like, make it so he doesn't shoot the guy. And then carries him to the fucking van and goes back to get the money for everybody. And then he gets chased down by the cops and gets arrested. But then also, A, doesn't turn any of them in. Ever. And then B, burns the money so there's no evidence. So it basically just, he's the one taking all the blame for this crime. So,
right, and Josh Lucas like, still thinking,
fuck you, Nicolas Cage. I got shot, and then I took a bunch of crack, and then I was in a cover band for Poison at one point, and then I lost my leg, so I got this crazy fake leg, and I got taxi cab driver.
Yeah, I remember the original trailer for this movie. I did not know he had the leg thing, because I was like, oh yeah. The trailer does no justice in showing
it was that bad of a gunshot.
Yeah, I didn't see that bad. I thought, oh, my foot, like, oh, my leg. But not like I lost the whole leg. Like, holy shit, did you just not, like, wash your leg? Like, what the hell did you not do?
He, like, jammed, like, pennies in or something.
He just, like, dipped his leg in, like, a ravine, like a sewage treatment plant.
I guess he was kind of crazy, but then that made him, like, completely and utterly insane.
Okay, so let's fast forward until, like, the daughter. So when you're just the daughter, she's, like, 14.
Yeah.
15, like, she's old enough to be like, okay, I know you're a bank robber, daddy. You never meet the mom.
Nope.
His wife, like, you just assume, like, you just got divorced, so it's like, well, I'm just trying to save my daughter. The daughter looks nothing like Nicolas Cage. Nope. We were hoping that the daughter would be, like, a female Nicolas Cage impersonator. Like, I thought, holy shit, this movie would have been fucking awesome if, like, just, like, a little girl was like, dad, like, Nicolas Cage is like, daughter.
I'm going to use math to get out of this cab.
And just like, daddy, I missed you. Welcome out of the big house. Like, I thought that should have been funny. Like, we start imagining scenarios of, like, daughter just, like, giving her, like, Nicolas Cage lip.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need your advice, dad. And just, like, just all this shit during the movie. So, that didn't happen. Like, I thought, holy shit, this movie would have been so much better if Nicolas Cage is doing, like, he basically is the character from National Treasure.
Yeah, yeah, same hairstyle and stuff.
Yeah, say, like, wear, like, black leather jacket, black shirt, like, he just all black.
Yeah,
and then
if he was a thief.
Yeah, his whole attire is thief. Like, he just does not look like a thief. Every scene, he looks like a thief.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like the thief from Gone in 60 Seconds, yep. Without the blonde. Mm-hmm. So, through all these weird, like, run around trying to collect clues to where to find his daughter.
Fucking Mardi Gras.
Dirty, like, Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which, like, I guess because Nicolas Cage, like, owes the city of New Orleans, like, tourism or something.
He was just like, I got an extra week after a film Seeking Justice. Some other movie.
I would love this is all happening the same week, just Seeking Justice,
yep.
And then
same Logan, character,
different Nicolas Cages, but like they all look alike.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Nicolas Cages are converging on New Orleans.
Yeah,
it's the Cage conundrum.
Caging in Orleans.
The Cage paradox.
So, I'm gonna fast forward to the end where like his plan actually gets some sort of money. Is to steal the gold they introduce in the first scene of the movie.
Exact same bank, exact same place.
Okay, exact same bank, exact same placement. I'm like, how do they not move that? He doesn't. He hasn't been inside that bank in 10 years.
Yeah.
He also doesn't know if that's the same like room, like if they still store anything in there, or if that bank still like is open or is anything. Like he did not visit this bank. He did not do anything besides remember that it was there 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And on a gamble, he decides to rig it with a heating device and melt gold to steal it.
Yep.
Just, first of all, we thought, okay, holy shit, you know banks can close and just reopen as different things?
Nope.
What happened if that wasn't a bank anymore? What happens if that's someone's home?
It's like a Starbucks.
What happens if that was like a house, you know, like, what if a baby was there?
Yeah.
Like, all these horrific things that he had to find out the moment he drilled, like, if he was right or not.
Yeah, because there's pretty much no setup for that heist. It's just like, we're going to sewer with a flamethrower and melt this gold.
It seems like he did not burn that money, but then he really says, like, I really did burn that money. Like, I have no choice now but to figure out, like, how to steal something of value to give to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's fast forward from that. That did not matter at all when Lucas was just like, well, I have...
Let's get into a fight.
Like, here's your stuff, and we're fighting. Like, there was no, like, thank you.
I'm gonna push your daughter into this ocean.
Yeah, like, there was no, like, let me count this. There was no, like, let me make sure, let me, like, look at, let me, like, test it. Just like, okay, here's something. I'm going to fight you anyway. Like, oh, god damn it.
Is this a bag full of rocks?
It could have been. It seriously could have been like, I am giving you garbage. And he's like, what? And then they could have fought.
It could have been a bag of rocks in this cage that is, like, smacked in the face with it and, like, time to rock and roll.
Ah, god, like... Like, he gives him the rocks, and he walks away and goes, you've been stolen. Like, just like something. It's like, I get, this movie steals your time.
Yeah.
So I get why it's stolen. Like, I get that. So it's like, oh, I don't need to know, like, they say stolen.
Yeah.
But, like,
my daughter's been stolen.
Like, I, like, zooms in the screen, like, yeah. I stole your time. Like, oh, fuck you, Nicolas Cage.
You know what the most insane part of this movie is that it was directed by Simon West. Who,
like the actor.
Who also directed Expendables 2 last year, which was amazing. So it's just like, I don't. And also directed Con Air with Nicolas Cage, which was also amazing. So.
Yeah, but there wasn't no gratuitous slowdown in this movie.
No.
Like, Con Air has a lot of slowdown. Like, even like the walking scenes or fighting.
Explosions in the background, bullets are flapping.
The most epic slowdown in Con Air is when you see the post prison Con Air, the post prison Nicolas Cage with the mullet, and he's like,
running away from the explosion, and like,
no, when he's getting onto the plane, where he's looking at the sun and his hair is blowing in the wind,
yeah,
is very it's like, ooh, look at that, like it's a very powerful mane of hair. But anyway, so yeah, at the end of this movie, it just like his life. Is a little bit better.
Yeah.
But not really. Like, I don't know, like, he can't find a job.
And what
lives in a trailer.
But, like, the FBI is, like, still watching him, and then, like, since he throws the gold into the ocean, they're like, oh, well, we're not going to arrest him anymore. Like, if he got the gold, we're going to arrest him, but we're not going to go recover the gold or anything, but, like, as long as he threw the gold away, it's fine.
Latest FBI team I've ever seen, you know, like, I think it might be worse or the same than the FBI from The Last Stand. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Last Stand, they were actually kind of doing work, but they were just, like, horrible at it. Like, the stolen FBI just was, like, super, like, lazy, and just, like, whatever, we don't believe in Nicolas Cage, we're just gonna arrest you because we'll give you a ride, and then we'll arrest you. Whatever. You just, like, threw millions of dollars of gold into the ocean, but as long as you're home with your daughter now, it's fine. You're a good dad.
I guess. Like, I thought that was, like, okay, like, at least they're terrible at their job, though.
You're possibly being a bang Malin Ackerman now.
Yeah, I thought that was very forced, where it's like, oh, now I'm very attracted to you, Nicolas Cage. Like, ugh. Where is this coming from? But thank God they didn't. Like, I like this movie because they didn't have a romantic subplot.
Yeah.
So, I just swear, I would have loved this movie more if there was a female Nicolas Cage impersonator daughter.
Yes, that would have been pretty amazing.
Oh, child, it's me, your father. Like, oh, daddy, it's me, your daughter.
You bought me a giant blue bunny.
Thank you for the doll, daddy. I gotta go to therapy, daddy.
No, it was a bear, wasn't it? Because it was like, it was bunny, would have been too, like, that would have been too blatant of Con Air reference.
It was blue. And it was an animal. And it was like the first thing he bought. Which is like, okay.
My 15-year-old daughter will love this instead of a cell phone.
Well, she had a cell phone.
Or like a or like some sort of jewelry, like a necklace or something. What do teenage girls like? Stuffed animals, right? And like Hanson.
And she wasn't like a 9-year-old. I don't know why this would work. And she's like taking the taxis in New Orleans like by herself. Yep. I was like, holy shit. And it's also Fat Tuesday. Oh my god. That's like letting a teenage daughter go to Boston by herself to go to like food shopping in a bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's New Orleans all the time.
How about when Josh Lucas is like beat the shit out of that one guy who like got into his cab by accident?
And, oh, if you actually listen to his rant, he actually talks about the history of New Orleans.
Yeah.
How, like, it's like mini Australia, where, like, France threw, like, their thieves in America. Yeah. That's how New Orleans history is about. Yeah. Like, just, like, sinnery. Like, just people living in sin.
He just, like, murders that cop.
That was kind of funny. Like, because the cop. Because, like, the girl who just looks like mini Juno, yeah, just kind of like. Yep. Doing the hardest to trying to get other people hurt.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I like this better than Seeking Justice. But it's like, not like
Seeking Justice.
It was more like I was entertained by it.
Now,
but I wasn't just like, yeah, I could see it once.
You and Joe need to watch to like complete like the trifecta. You need to watch Trespass.
Is it the one where like he's in the house?
He and Nicole Kidman are married and they get their house broken into.
Yeah, I saw the cover of that. Like, he's got the mustache.
You're talking about how this get made.
Okay, yeah. I heard about that.
Where it's basically, he's like the dad from Kick-Ass without any skills or any...
anything useful.
Like, if his, like, alter ego was just like, that was him. I sell diamonds. I'm a diamond dealer.
He has a daughter on that one too, right?
Does he have a daughter and a son, or just a daughter? I think he just had a daughter.
I just wish that any child of Nicolas Cage sounds just like Nicolas Cage.
Yes. Oh man. So anything else, Chris?
No, that's it.
All right. So we should probably wrap this thing up because it's been like almost 2.5 hours. Although I think we talked for like a half hour before this, but definitely over 2 hours again for this week for the podcast. So you're getting your money's worth. So, if you want more from us, you go to, www.everythingaction.com. We have, a bunch of breaking news going up, thanks to Joe, pretty much every day for all your, like, superhero news and all that stuff. So, also have a review of Bullet to the Head up there. I put up my article about what's going on with Action right now due to those, like, 3 failures in a row that we've seen. And then a bunch of all Super Bowl trailers are up. You want to check those out if you missed those. And just all of our regular features. For like musical montages this month, for example, we're doing the best of Action ballads / love songs because it's February, Valentine's Day, all that stuff. And actually, speaking of Nicolas Cage, the first one up is the theme from Con Air, How Do I Live? Which the official music video for that song has clips from Con Air in it, but it's just the 3 scenes that have like Nicolas Cage's wife in them. That's the only scene they use for Con Air for that music video.
Like near the end and like not the beginning when they go to that bar.
Yeah, at the beginning of the bar before like he beats that guy to death, and then like her like crying when like John Cusack like tells her that he got arrested or whatever, or, like he's like in trouble.
Oh, the Con Air got hijacked.
Yeah, and then, like, at the end, when, like, he, like, reunites with them. That's the 3 scenes.
That woman is only in 3 scenes.
Yep. Because they obviously can't show, like, John Malkovich, like, burning a man to death or something in, like, that love song music video, so. How I Live Without You, John Malkovich, a.k.a. Cyrus the Virus. Or had, like, Steve Buscemi, like, drinking tea with that little girl in the pool, the dried up swimming pool.
Well, no, they're not in the pool together, just drinking tea next to it.
Yeah.
Like, that girl!
In, like, the atomic bomb range, or whatever the hell.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, holy shit, is that girl, like, an orphan? Is she living in the junkyard by herself? Where,
like, it's, like, the abandoned, like, atomic test range. Like, it was, like, from the 50s, it was, like, abandoned ghost town that they used to, like, drop atomic bombs on.
Yeah, is she, like, a hill person? Like, what the hell is going on with that?
Because it's, like, literally nothing else there. Like, there's no house. There's no, like... Just, like, her and, like, a near, like, a... It's, like, an abandoned hotel or something.
Like, if she were, like, you know, stolen, no one would notice her.
No. Steve Buscemi could have easily murdered her and wore her face.
Right, but, and no one would have known.
Yeah, which I think is what he did. I don't know. He's, like, basically Hannibal.
No, he left her be.
I know, but, like, because he's, like the most vicious serial killer ever, apparently, in that movie.
Yeah, he actually escapes.
They bring him in like that, like Hannibal Lecter, like cart, and then lock him in like the crazy like super set, like the super villain cell, along with like Danny Trejo and Vig Rames.
And the Danny Trejo died.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going too far into comedy.
Yeah. Just go watch that music video if you want to check it out.
None of this we talked about happens in that video, but it's about that.
Yeah. The song is at the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie. I mean, so bookending all the insane Danny Trejo getting his arm ripped off and Steve Buscemi creepily having tea with little girls, there's this country love song.
It's playing in the background.
Yeah. So all that up on the site. Come check it out, everythingaction.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everythingaction. Twitter.com/EVAction is the Twitter account. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. You can find us on iTunes by going to the iTunes Music Store. Search for Everything Action on there. You can subscribe to the podcast on there. Rate us. Leave some comments. Leave some reviews. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It's free. You get the last 20 new searches on the site. You can also listen to the podcast on there as well. Also listen to us on Stitcher. Go to Stitcher.com. You can stream us on there. Download podcasts on there. You can also listen to it on pretty much any MP3 player or tablet or phone that you have. They have a Stitcher app for it. So that's also another way to get the podcast. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.